Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to stay in Genesis today, so you don't have to travel far from your Bible. A reminder to write a thought down. Amen. There's something that God wants to speak to you today and wants you to pray and meditate on His Word, on His Spirit, just leading something into your heart. And, you know, it's amazing about preaching in the sense that, you know, I have this thought that I'm sharing with you. And a lot of times I'll get someone to tell me later after the service, "Oh, thank you for sharing that. I need to hear that because of this, 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 this." And I'm thinking, well, that wasn't what I thought I was saying. But as long as that's what the Spirit spoke to you, that's awesome. You know, God uses His Word and He's speaking to you uniquely, individually. And you have your own, I like to call it spiritual DNA, uniqueness that God's speaking to you. And that's what's so cool about God's Word. It just penetrates all different ways. And so that's exciting. So always open your heart to whatever you're going through right now. God wants to speak to you in this message. So write a thought down and just be attentive to what the Lord is trying to speak down into your heart. Last week we had a tremendous service about goodbye mediocre, right? Amen. I don't know if you noticed, but you know, in this church, we don't like mediocre. We don't want to be ordinary. We want God to do great things with us, in us. And the formula, so to speak, the secret is that the Bible is pretty clear on how instruments are great in His kingdom. And how is that? Anybody want to say? Shout. Serve. That's what the Bible teaches us. Every time they ask Jesus, how do you become great in your kingdom? Serve. Humility, servant hearts. That's how you become great in His kingdom. It's real simple, isn't it? But the hard part is denying self to serve. And that's the challenge that God has been challenging all of us this month, this spring and summer now. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Summertime is here. We're about to get pretty busy for the Lord, and some of you will be a little stretched, and I may be asking some of you to do some stuff. Help me out here. Help me out there. As we get ready to serve this community, we're gonna, you know, to what we're gonna do, what the result is gonna be. We're gonna help kids get shoes and backpacks. We're gonna help kids. Measure them, right? We're gonna feed, bring food to the colonias. We're going to prepare the kids for VBS and show them Jesus. And there's a lot of good things we're about to do in the next couple of months. And many of you have been telling me, when are we going back outside the walls? Well, it's here. Don't say no now, right? I need your help. Well, I don't have time. But And one thing you always have is if everybody showed up, we would have too many of you. Like, go home. But don't worry about that. It's always better to have more than it is to not have enough. Amen? Amen. And this week, I've asked Aloy and Ronnie and get some help to go out to the colonia and do a little census. To go out and find out what the family is, how many kids are here, how many are in the family. They're going to go down and so that we know what the needs are. And once we know that, we can go out and impact the colonias in a better way. So if anybody wants to hook up to that, they're going to start on Monday or Tuesday. You just talk to Aloy, and he's going to coordinate that. But we're getting ready to go. We're getting ready to go. Amen. So are you ready? It's our turn to be great. It's your turn to be great. Not because we deserve it. Not because we're figured it out. Just like the prodigal son did not deserve it, when he came back and he humbled himself back to his father, willing to be a servant and a slave, how did the father receive the prodigal son? They had a big party that he wasn't worthy of. You see, that's our father. When we come back, when we surrender everything and we begin to walk in His will, He doesn't sit there and just remind you of all your mistakes. When we ask for forgiveness, He gladly forgives us and he throws us the best of the best. Just like the prodigal son. That is our Father. Because He is our Heavenly Father and He loves us. This I know this morning, that the victory will come. The victory will come. So we're going to start by reading Genesis 37 verse 1. A story we all know, but I believe we need to go through it and pull out some things that I normally don't pull out of this story. I usually go somewhere else with this story, but today's a little different. Let's read Genesis 37 verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. So he's 17 years old. He was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons Bilhah and with his sons Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So Joseph loved his father, Israel, loved his son Joseph more than all the other children. That usually causes family trouble, right? You like him more than you like me, right? Have you ever heard your children say that? Mm-hmm. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. You're already his favorite, and now you want to be a dreamer. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obsession or bowed down to me." Oh, what a beautiful dream for Joseph. And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Joseph was loved by his father, but hated by his brothers. They were jealous. And as you know this story, Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph goes to prison, accused of rape when he was innocent. Joseph it wasn't going well at all. He went through a lot of hard trials, a lot of tough days. But one thing about Joseph, he never related those trials to God being bad. He never did. He always just believed and trusted that his Heavenly Father knew what was right for him. He just had to trust it. And he did. And Joseph, one day, you know the story, he gets an opportunity to interpret a dream. Because he had this gift of dreams, as his brothers found out later. He had this gift to interpret dreams. And one day Pharaoh was just stressed out because he can't figure out this dream that just keeps gnawing at him. And someone says, "Hey, I know somebody who thinks they can interpret dreams." And Joseph gets an opportunity to stand before Pharaoh. And he stands and he shares God's word. And the Pharaoh says, "If that's true, then coordinate it. Make sure this famine doesn't kill us." And sure enough, the famine came. And sure enough, Joseph, everything changed. And now Joseph, after many, 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 many years, is second in command in all of Egypt. That's a pretty amazing journey. But he never did blame God. And he never did stop believing that God had a big picture plan. So I want to encourage you in your life, no matter what trials you're going through, no matter what's going on, don't stop believing God has a big picture plan. He does. And in Genesis, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 45, verse 1. So his brothers are starving. And the father says, go to Egypt and see if you can make a deal. That's the only choice we have, because if we don't do this, we're dying of starvation. So the brothers go. And they bow down to Joseph. Just like the dream said. They didn't know it was Joseph. But they bowed down to him. And they're begging for food. Joseph cannot take it any longer. He plays games with them, as you know the story well, right? He plays games with them, makes them go back, and keeps the brother, and they're all stressing out over it. I'm sure he was having a little fun. You know, payback. But in a nice way. Knowing that everything was they were going to be okay. Then Joseph could not refrain himself anymore in front of his brothers. They stood by him and he cried, caused every man to get out from the room, everybody out, except for his brothers. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. Can you imagine the brothers? Why are you crying? We're the ones that be crying. And he wept aloud, and even the Egyptians of the Pharaoh heard him outside the room. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? Can you imagine the expression? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were shocked at his presence. I wonder how many of them thought of the dream right there. Like, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you know, he still remembered. You sold me into Egypt. But then he doesn't torture him that long. The very next sentence he says, don't worry. Because they were worried for their life. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. Let it go. See, that this is a lot of wisdom in Joseph. For him to tell the brothers, don't be grieved and don't be angry with yourself. What he knew, that if they blamed themselves and couldn't forgive themselves, they couldn't move on. And he loved his brothers. See, he didn't have a vengeance heart. He didn't want, I'm going to get you back. You deserve what you did to me. He just let it all go. And it was all about God's plan now. And God's plan was to keep His promise with His covenant with Abraham, that the children of Israel would be a nation so many that the stars, as numerous as the stars, that was the promise. And all of this was to keep that promise. See, Joseph understood a bigger picture. He knew that there was no time for vengeance and grudges. He knew that there was no time for any of that. There's a big picture plan here, and it's God's fulfilling His promises in covenant to Abraham. So Joseph knew, don't be grieved, don't even blame yourselves. Now, that takes a big man, that's a big heart, an unselfish heart, a heart that's denying self, a heart that sees a bigger picture. And where did he learn all this? Where did he learn this wisdom and this understanding about God's ways and not his ways? Where did he learn all of this? In slavery. In prison. You see, you wonder sometimes why you go through the trials you go through. But you learn character. You learn how to grow up. How to not hold grudges. How those things only keep you down. Those anger and grudges and all of that just keeps you from achieving the big picture plan that God has for you. See, Joseph, he learned all this. We're talking about decades in prison, decades in slavery. Not just a week or two or a year. For many, many, many years. Where did he learn? this wisdom. And right away, he loved his brother. He said, "Don't be angry, don't be grieved with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve your life." See, he saw the big picture. God sent me here and go through all that, and you did what you did because I was supposed to be here to preserve your life, to keep the covenant that he made to Abraham and Isaac. You see, you're going through trials, you're going through life for a reason. Because there's a covenant. Somebody is praying for somebody. And God's made a covenant with that person. And he hears their prayers. And you're the one that's going to say, "God loves you. Can I lead you to Jesus Christ?" And you're the one that keeps the covenant that God made with somebody. You see, there's story after story after story like this. You are called for something bigger. There's no time for grudges. There's no time for anger and hatred. Sure, people have wronged you. Get in line. Sure, you're just by holding them accountable. In justice's eyes, you have every right to be mad. But those who are great in his kingdom, they love their enemies. They understand the bigger picture. There's no time. Eloi prophesied just a few weeks ago, a wave is coming. A wave is coming. There's no time to hold this stuff. If you have stuff in your life, you need victory over it. This I know. We will see the victory come, as the song says. We know God's got this. There's no time. Prepare yourself. Prepare your hearts. He does come through every time. In Genesis chapter 47, just a few pages down, verse 29. Finally, the father, remember the father, he loved Joseph. When the brothers told him that an animal had eaten him up. But I'm sure he was praying. He never saw the body, but he was praying. Maybe he survived that and he got picked up. Maybe. Yeah, I'm sure all these thoughts came into his head, right? And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight," I think that's the wrong one. Chapter 46, verse 29. Wrong chapter. Chapter 46, 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet his father and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and he wept on his neck a good while. I like the way the Bible, a good while. In other words, they're crying like babies, right? And they're hugging each other. The father, his favorite son, is alive. And the father replied by saying this, "Take me now, Lord, I'm ready. I've seen my son, they're all in good shape, he's second in command in Egypt, I can be at peace. And if I wanted to go, now's the time to go." Knowing that his sons are taken care of. And his favorite son is second in command of all of Egypt. This is the time to go. So he says, Israel said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." Joseph's father is at peace. God answered his prayers. Normally when I preach on this story, I spend a lot of time focusing on Joseph and how he forgave his brothers and how he saw, you know, this and that and But in this particular case, I wanted to end this by focusing on how Joseph knew that all his sufferings in prison as a slave was worth it all because it brought him to this moment. The moment when he was reunited with his father and was in position to save his family from starvation. The journey led him here. You may be wondering about your journey this morning, like why you have to wait on the Lord for this and be patient about that. Well, I have news this morning based on this story, based on the character of God, how God loves us. Be at peace this morning because there is good news. The victory does come. When you stay true to your calling, when you stay true to that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you pray, and you read your Bible, and you're faithful in your givings, and you're setting things right in your life, be at peace because the victory will come. It will come. When you stay true to your calling, this I know, the victory will come. Here's another part of Joseph's story that struck me as I read the story again for about 100th time. Joseph loved his father and his father loved him. They loved each other so much that the other brothers were jealous. And for many years and decades, Joseph had no idea his father was dead or alive. But it is never over until God says it's over. Amen. Stay in the fight. Keep improving. As Michelle preached last week about mediocre, keep improving. Keep not settling for ordinary. Stay in the fight. Serve the Lord with all of your heart because this I know, the victory will come. Amen. And I wanted Aloy to share at the end part of this sermon because this I know, the victory will come. Like this story in Joseph. It all came together. And the victory did come. It did come. Eloy, come and just share.
If you can just bear with me. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you give me strength to share this. You've answered a prayer that I've been praying for many years, Lord. Just give me strength, Lord. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been an emotional week. A good emotional. I found my mom. That I've been praying for almost 20 years. Because the last time I saw her, it wasn't a pretty picture. But how God, in His mercy, in His faithfulness, He answers prayer in His time. It was on a say Tuesday morning, or I received a call from all places from a funeral home, right? Vaughn Funeral Home. And they said they were looking for my aunt. It's like, okay, what's this in regards to? I said, it's in regards to your Maria Alicia. So as a matter of fact, you are talking to her son right now. So from the funeral home, once I mentioned that she was talking to her son, they disclosed that information from Houston. A social worker has been looking for the family. She's in a nursing home in Houston. And I, first of all, I want to thank Pastor Green and Sister Green for the many years of prayer that stood with me and other families in mission. Nell Dunn, her husband Raymond, for the family. Raymond and Marky, a little sis, Bianca. Because as I was doing a little bit more search, we went to Houston because an address popped up. I was all excited, like, this is it. This is it. I want to see her face to face. She wasn't there. And I always thought, like, why can't I find her, Lord? I have her social. I have her birth certificate. Why can't I find her? There's questions that arose. Is she alive? Is she dead? But I always had it in my heart that I knew she was alive. I always said, God, I know she's alive out there somewhere. I'm going to share a few scriptures that help me to be strong. And that's the beautiful thing about God. You hold on to His scripture. Don't let go. Don't lose hope. Because God is faithful. Psalms 138. Just bear with me this morning. I haven't cried so much in a long, long time. Psalms 138, verse 1. I praise you, Lord, with all of my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I'll bow down toward your holy temple, and I'll praise your holy name. For your unfailing love and your faithfulness, for you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me, your love, Lord, you endure forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. The King James Version says, the Lord will perfect that which concerned me. Perfect. The word perfect is that he will make it perfect in his time. Psalms 37, verse 1. Psalms 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass that will soon wither, like green plants that will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I always had that desire in my heart. And when I got saved in the Lord and you know, growing up, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you all this morning. I had a lot of resentment towards my parents. Because I would see my friends who would support their son and go to the games. And here I'm playing, just always had that thought in my heart. Why are my parents not here to support me? And one time when I talked to my mom, I think that was
I told my students when we did a little bit project, they said, you don't even know how to feel about the record.
I'm just being honest with you because God is so faithful. And it's just, I'm lost for words all this week. I've been just tearing up when I thank my friends back in mission, my family for their prayers. They're standing with me. The night before, I was praying to God, just thanking Him for many families that He's placed in my life that believed in me. And they stood with me, fighting in prayer for my mom. And then, when I went to go talk to my aunt about that phone call I received, I said, Tia, they want to speak to you because you were the first name that was mentioned. And my aunt said, Mijo, the night before, I was praying to God. I said, God, if you're real, I want to see my sister. And I was praying, crying out my heart. How God, once again, is so merciful. How God, like I said, there's just no words. And we spoke to her that same day. Then to hear my aunt say, I love you, sister. Wow. Talk about God. Talk about God at work. It's been almost 20 years. Pray for me. Pray for my family. We're going to go take a trip. You talk to her social worker and see how, what advice, what do I need to do? She prayed to bring her down with her family. It was the reason why I couldn't find her. She was in a homeless shelter in Houston, of all places. And the social worker was telling me that they were mistreating her. Who knows the life my mom's lived? God is it wasn't for God's mercy. Where would I be? God knew what He was doing when my grandparents raised me. God knew what He brought me to this church as a young boy that was hurting. God knew when I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, June 18th of 2000. It was just the beginning. Just the beginning to where God's lead me. But thank Joseph and Michelle for their prayers as well as stood with me. Pastor Elias and Alyssa, once again, Nelda and Raymond for their family. Love you guys. To you, Hector, thank you. There's another scripture, but I can't get to it.
I ask Michelle and the worship team to come.